Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
On behalf of our amazing producer, Mike DeHerrera, this is Jason Graves and Taff Winnick for the Blazing Grace Show. Hello, everyone, and hello, Taff.
Hello, Jason.
Did you like that introduction?
I did. That was different.
A little different this time. And in fact, next time we'll be able to talk about our Blazing Grace chaplain, Ben Yoder, who will be back in saddle after quite a while of not being here. But we're thankful for the team at Blazing Grace, and we're thankful for our listeners. And in fact, we just heard from a lady recently in response to, I think it was our show on emotional dependency. And listen to what she writes. She's talking about her relationship a little bit and her husband. And she says, he grew up in a family where his father would go in another room and ignore his mom when she was hurt. And even though he looked down on him for that, he is now doing that in our marriage. He also won't ever bring up anything regarding emotions, feelings, or something deeper than just work or the kids. Our conversations are very platonic, and if I try to get deeper, he withdraws and says nothing. Your show on the 3rd was very helpful in showing that I'm not crazy. I was starting to think that that was just how he is as a man, and that I couldn't expect more. I think he'll find your show enlightening as well, and I know that he'll want more info on how to deal and grow in this area. He is trying with all of his heart as a person who recovered from sexual addiction to become a husband that God desires him to be, but seems to be confused about the emotional intimacy in our marriage. Thanks so much for your show, and we look forward to more on this subject of self-absorption and emotional intimacy. So thank you for writing in, and she goes on to request a show on the issue of lust. And what do you know? We've got one here today. So, boy, lust. Where do we begin? I mean, this is a big topic, but yet, surprisingly, one that we've never directly done on this show before, Taff. And so we want to get to that, talk about one of the 7 deadly sins, and hopefully define that a little bit better. I know that sometimes it's hard to understand what lust is. But then also, maybe talk about some strategies of how to combat that. So let me ask you a question. If lust is one of the 7 deadly sins, what do you think, Taff, makes lust deadly? What do you think makes lust lead to death?
I think, I don't know if I could say more so, but I think where lust takes us is, it's interesting that you brought up self-absorption. Lust is, like few other things, a direct path to being completely oriented to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if the idea of being a believer on this planet is that we're going to be self-sacrificial,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to lay down our lives for the sake of the kingdom and for our brothers,
right?
If we are, lust is our intense, going to work that definition in here, this intense desire, usually sexual, for something
mm-hmm.
that overrides rationality.
Right.
And lust just puts us in a place where self-sacrifice and lust are almost diametrically opposed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just going to say, it's the diabolical evil twin of love. It is the ultimate imposter of love. It masks itself as love. You know, you talked about it usually being sex, right? And, well, we associate sex with love, right? But it lust, like you said, is selfish, self-oriented, and it takes love is something that is about giving. In fact, God is love. God is the sustainer of life. So love really is life-promoting then. Lust then, by contrast, it's easy to understand why it's death-promoting and why it's one of the 7 deadly sins, because it's the total opposite of what God intended for us.
Yeah, it's the, I think you can't read in Scripture, you can't read the Song of Solomon without coming across this intense, even sexual desire of the bridegroom for a bride.
Mm.
and there is this righteousness in the mm-hmm. desire mm-hmm. for your bride. Mm-hmm. But that's even a self-donation. That's in the context of marriage, it's a very your desire is to give to her.
Right.
And if you're a woman listening, your desire is to give of the beauty that God right. has made in you.
Right, because lust wants to take something that does not belong to you.
Yeah, and you cannot be a taker
right.
and be Christ-like.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Whereas love is about really fully appreciating and receiving something that is yours. So in other words, if I look at my wife, who is beautiful, and if I desire her intensely, now I can turn that into a lust thing, even though it's my wife. If I try and desire her in a way that wasn't intended, or if I am desiring her with an emphasis on my own needs or myself, then we can turn that thing into a lust thing, even if it's within the confines and the boundaries of what God intended, marriage.
Right. I hear guys say sometimes, like, I don't get any physical intimacy from my wife.
Mm.
Right. Now, is that a taking-oriented right. statement, or is that a giving-oriented right. statement?
Right.
And I ask that, and then, you know, they kind of look down at the ground, or they look to see if I have a degree on the wall or something.
Yeah.
You know? And right. and I said, what if you thought of it as something that you give, and right. you only thought of it mm-hmm. as something that you give? How mm-hmm. would that change your world?
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to a lot of men, and it's like, it's like handing a Rubik's Cube to a chimpanzee. They have no idea what to do with that statement.
Yeah.
Because we're so oriented to thinking that physical gratification is something that we get.
Right.
Or the physical intimacy or sexual intimacy is a thing that it's like somebody has it and they have to give it to us.
Right, right.
And that really gets it out of order.
Right.
That's not the kind of job security I want, Jason, I got to tell you.
No, it's not. You know, and I bet that same man who has that attitude really struggles with initiating being sexual. Because if the focus is on receiving, well, then it's going to be a challenge to get out of that mindset enough to give yourself and to even, you know, initiate. You know, so there's a complaint in there. And, you know, I'm not to say that, you know, if your wife isn't initiating on her end sometimes, and if she isn't, you know, being willing to be sexual, that there isn't a problem. I mean, there is, obviously. But in a relationship, you know, we have to look at ourselves. So in distinguishing lust and what it is, we can define it by contrast that it's not love. All right. So you talked about the word self-donating or the phrase self-donating. When we talk about self-donating love, where does that come from? Why does God want us to be self-donating in how we love each other in marriage? Well, I mean, the answer is because that's what he does. That's how God loved us. I mean, he donated himself in the person of Jesus Christ for us and to us. For a purpose and a cause.
That sort of makes this statement that there is no length that I will not go to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
As a husband saying it to a wife, Christ says it to us.
Wow.
And then this call for us to, will you love the bride that I give you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I have loved you.
Right.
Paul says, you know, as Christ loved the church, if Christ is saying it, will you love your bride as I've loved you?
Yeah.
There's no length that I won't go to get to you.
Right. Well, you know, it's really interesting because just before coming here to the studio, I was in the car after leaving the gym, and I was thinking, you know, this, because, you know, in our home fellowship, we're studying the theology of the body. I thought, well, what's the real application here? And I was thinking about this self-donating love idea. And you know what it does for me, Taff, is it really challenges me to be more sacrificial in the areas where I really struggle. It's no problem for me to spend time with my wife. It's no problem for me to relate with her. It's no problem for me to get her gifts and things like that. Where I struggle is in the area of service You know, I'm not a task-oriented person, certainly not as much as she is. So this truth here of God and his self-donating love moves me forward in my relationship, because you know what? If it means that I need to just take out the garbage and not worry whether, you know, she's going to notice or not, to God be the glory. If it means that I need to get up and on a Friday and take that garbage out, you know, in the cold, it was, you know, about 20 degrees this morning, then, hey, glory to God. Okay. If it means that I need to get up and do what she's asking me to do right then and there, not just when it's convenient to me, which I really struggle with, glory to God. Okay.
Or, and this is just crazy, mm-hmm. but to notice what our wives need before they ask.
Mm-hmm.
And despite our fatigue or yeah. our whatever right. from our day, just right. to meet her there.
Sure.
And do that to alleviate. I mean, yeah. you know, our female listeners right now are pumping their fists in
yes.
the air.
And they're like, oh, my goodness. I hope that their wives are listening. Now, I'm always asking you guys to, you know, write in and everything. Don't write in and ask me how I'm doing in this area, okay? I don't want any extra accountability in this area, okay? I've got enough accountability in my life in that area, but thank you. but I'm just curious. Has anybody ever heard this sound before on the air? Can you hear that? Oh, there you go. Okay. Or how about this sound? Well, that's because every taping, I always stop by Jamba Juice. Jamba Juice is one of my favorites. And I'm, you know, you're probably wondering, you know, has Jason just fell off of the cart? Or, you know, where's he going with this? Well, you know, today's show is not sponsored by Jamba Juice. Okay, I wish, because then it would be very easy to keep the show
well,
on,
and these
on the
would
air.
Have been free.
And they would have been free and all that kind of thing. Right. There's benefits, right?
We'd get the jackets and the caps.
Sure. And who wouldn't want a Jamba Juice cap and jacket, right? Well, here's the deal. The show is not sponsored by Jamba Juice or any other corporate sponsors. It is, however, listener supported. That means that you get an opportunity to be the sponsor of this show. And so I came up with this little idea that if every one of our listeners right now put a dollar... $2, $3, or $4, put between $1 and $4 in an envelope, sent that to us, that would pay for the show for a whole year. Okay, I don't know anybody who can't afford a dollar, all right? So here's my little idea. Right now, just think about it. We've been on the show, on the air for 4 years, 2005 through 2008. If you've listened to shows from just one of those years, send us a dollar. If you've listened to shows for two of those years, $2. And then if you've listened all the way up to all four of those years, just send us $4. And we will put that money towards the production costs of this show and be able to expand as well and to be able to reach other people in other ways. You can send that in and you may think, oh my gosh, that's not a lot of money. I don't feel comfortable giving that little bit. Well, then, like I said last time, send more. That's fine. If you want to write a check, if you don't feel comfortable sending cash in the mail, that's fine. You can make that out to Joy to the World Foundation and then put Soul Healer in the memo line, and that will go into our nonprofit account. We'll be able to from which we pay for the show. You can mail that to our P.O. Box, P.O. Box 25314, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80936. All right. Questions, comments, be sure and get a hold of us on email. You can reach Taff. That's help@legendcounseling.com, or you can reach me at help@healingforthesoul.org. All right. So let's get back to the subject of lust. All right.
I just have to compliment. That's the most creative segue to our listener-supported statement yet. So...
whatever I can do to help. Just trying to be creative.
Fantastic. Yeah, you know, Jason, I wanted to share something from my own life that's really, this is very, it's a very personal thing to me about how God has dealt with me about lust. From the time I was really young, I really felt called to do some kind of leading or serving in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I was ordained to ministry when I was 18. You know, and just wanted to just give my whole life at helping the body of Christ, you know, be who she is. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what that looked like at 18 or 28.
You had no idea about a lot of things at 18.
There were so many things. And I don't know, you know, how everyone responds to the idea that God speaks to us, you know, directly when we're not reading Scripture. But there was just this message that came to my heart that I believe was from the Lord. And I believe that it lines up with what I've known from Scripture. And the message was this: Taff, if you lust for women, you will lust for my church and you will use her. And that was really powerful to me. And if you're listening and you're a leader in the body of Christ, you need to be all ears right now. Because those two things are so closely tied together. If you see the image, and this is what a woman is the image of the bride of Christ. An eternal, I mean, just a glorious, that's why her beauty is so striking and so so alluring and so just amazing. But if you lust, and I'll just kind of say this message again. If you lust for women, you will lust for his bride and you will use his bride for yourself.
Boy, talk about death. I mean, basically, if you do that, what you're talking about, which is, it's a brilliant analogy, I have to hand it to you. If you do that, your ministry will die. That leads to the death of your ministry.
Or worse, Jason, it grows and it just looks and smells like you.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I thought of it this way. When I got that message, I thought, you know, when we're all standing before the Lord and... if there's a, he shows me this, I just kind of flashed forward in my imagination. He shows me his bride. Okay. I don't know how this works, you know, haven't been to heaven yet. So I don't know how this works, but there's his bride. And then, and there's her stunning gown that she's in. And then there are my hand and fingerprints, my paw prints all over her. I don't really want that. You know, a lot of you right now are asking, how do we use the bride? You know, how do we, well, if you use ministry for your own sense of significance, your own sense of financial gain, your own sense of well-being, you know, you medicate with ministry because it makes you feel good about you, or you want to expand your influence because somehow that feeds you. That is how lust plays itself out. Is it any small wonder that so many, you know, we're seeing more and more leaders in the body of Christ who, oh, by the way, they're struggling with lust of the flesh. Because I think those things are really closely tied. And I think that talking about it this way really brings in, this is how lust creates death. You know, I think the worst possible scenario is, you know, I mentioned your ministry grows, but it just looks and smells like you. Well, if we shrink that back to just lust for women, you know, what you end up having is whatever you get by following your lust. And you might find somebody alluring and intriguing and beautiful, but there's no life in it. It's just yours. It's just, it just looks and smells like you, something you wanted. And that's a hard thing to realize once, when it all does start to crumble, when your marriage crumbles, or when you, when your lust has taken you to the place where you, you just grabbed whatever you could for yourself because you thought you wanted it so bad. And really hard to impress your wife with that.
Yeah, well, that's what a parallel. You know, I've never really thought about that. And it's, you know, it's challenging. But, you know, lust really... makes, if you give into it, it makes you not only self-centered, but I think also one-dimensional. It, you know, for example, you know, you talk about these people that whose lust drives them to, when it comes to ministry, hide in that or elevate that to a level of importance it was never meant to be. And certainly, you know, we could see this in personality-driven, you know, type of ministries, right? I think that when we look at the sanctification process, and certainly God can use ministry to help us work out our salvation, right? So we get saved and then we get sanctified. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about be sanctified. How? Body, mind, and spirit. And how many times do we get blinded by things like lust into only focusing on spiritual things? you know, I've got this client whose pastor is always telling him, you know what? The reason why you're struggling is because you're not reading your Bible enough and you're not praying enough. And, you know, that may be true for some of us. I struggle with praying enough and reading my Bible enough. But I asked him, I asked this client, I said, now, how does your pastor know that? Well, he just knows these things. I said, wait a minute. That sounds a little bit too much like magical thinking to me. And it's because that, you know, I think there's a tendency for us to do that in the church and focus, over-focus on the spiritual for a couple reasons. Number one, it's the convenient thing to do. It's the easiest thing. It's the thing that we think about automatically when we're in that context. Secondly, it's like a Sunday school answer. You know, it just seems like the right thing to take.
You can give that counsel to someone and never be wrong.
Right. Bingo. It's a safe thing to say, right? But here's the problem with it. I think it's the lazy thing to say. And it's the unbiblical thing to say if we only focus on spiritual. Because the Bible says, be sanctified body, mind, and spirit. So in other words, the answer to our problems and growing in sanctification process isn't a unimodal thing. It's a multimodal thing. It involves sanctification of the body. What type of physical things are you doing to grow in your physicality, to take care of yourself physically, self-care, exercise goals? What types of things are you doing in your soul, you know, your mind and your emotions? How are you growing interpersonally? How are you dealing with some of the emotional crap from your past? How are you sharpening your mind? Okay. And then there's the spiritual too. Okay. So it's not one of those things. It's all of them. But when we get hung up in lust, it tends to narrow our focus. It tends to make us one-dimensional. And I think it tends to make us vulnerable to going for those easy, lazy answers like that.
Yeah.
So we got just a couple minutes here. Anything else that you wanted to bring up on the subject of lust? Any other definitions? I mean, this is another topic that we could, you know, spend a whole another show on. And speaking of which, our last show last time was on true masculinity. Well, the next show we decided we're going to do on true masculinity again. So part two. So be sure and tune in for that next time. But any final thoughts on that, Taff?
Yeah, and we may also have to do lust part two also. There's
probably.
There are a lot of places to go with this. And and it seems to me like the posture that we need to take, that we need to ask God for grace to have, is I'd like to be able to think of myself not as someone who's wanting to take. I'd like to be able, whether I'm talking about ministry or clinical practice or being a husband, you know, I would encourage you, you know, you guys who are listening, I would encourage you to think of yourself as someone who is made to give.
Amen.
That's your nature. It's your birthright in Christ.
Right.
To be a giver and not a taker. And I, yeah, that was my final thought there.
It's good. All right. So you want to be a giver instead of a taker? Well, there's a way you can be a giver and a receiver. You can give yourself and you can give your recovery a boost. If you're a wife, and you can also be a receiver in one of our wives groups. Are you a wife that needs support of other women? Well, we can't do this recovery thing alone. So get a hold of us at Healing for the Soul. You can reach us by phone at 719-590-7685. Or just email me. That's help@healingforthesoul.org. You know, Pure Passion episodes are up on the web. If you just go to healingforthesoul.org and click the media tab and the television show page, you can see some exciting episodes of the Pure Passion TV show. So tune in next time for Masculinity Part 2. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a tax-deductible donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening, and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace. Yeah.